Navajo people say their blood and bones are with the land, and that's where they belong. But what happens when the land they're so tied to is killing them? From the 1940s until the 1980s, the United States government mined 4 million tons of uranium on Navajo Nation to make nuclear weapons. Uranium isn't harmful when it's trapped in the ground, but when it's mined and milled, it becomes radioactive. Over six decades, a pristine landscape the size of West Virginia has turned into a toxic wasteland, stewing in the remnants of more than 500 mines. Thousands of Navajos have gotten sick and died because of it. The rest are fighting to stay alive. I traveled from New York City to the Four Corners area of the Southwest to take a closer look at the devastation and the devastated, and to find out why little has been done to help. The first stop, Northeast Church Rock, New Mexico. I'm standing next to Teddy Nez's home, just 500 feet away from the biggest mine on the reservation. For decades, Teddy has breathed dust from the mine, and it made him sick.
I had an itchiness that was all over my body.
What started as a rash in 1995 quickly manifested into colon cancer by 2002. Teddy doesn't look ill. He's tall and thick and stoic. He says Navajo rituals have cured him, but he says some days he still feels bad. When Teddy first got sick, he didn't know why, but he had suspicions the mine next to his house was poisoning him. On July 16, 1979, a dam near the Northeast Church Rock mine breached and sent more than 90 million gallons of waste down a nearby stream.
By my house, through the community, went through the community of Gallup, Holbrook, Winslow, down to Grand Canyon, Little Colorado River, untreated.
It was the largest nuclear accident in U.S. history. At first, it was just Teddy's livestock, his sheep, that got sick.
We butchered a couple of them, and then the fat is usually white, but in these two cases, the sheep fat was all yellow.
Then people started to die.
People are beginning to come forward and say, my so-and-so died of cancer. He or she was near that river at that time.
Nearly 30 years later, the EPA tested the amount of radon, a uranium byproduct in Teddy's home. It was 120 times the agency standard. That's when he knew he was in real danger. In September, Teddy, now 65 years old, moved into a temporary home in nearby Gallup, New Mexico, and the EPA moved onto Teddy's property to clean up the radioactive mine. Dump trucks haul piles of waste past the land where Teddy's family has lived for seven generations. The land, just like Teddy, is forever scarred. As I drive with Teddy back to Gallup, his calm voice turns angry. He tells me the government never warned him living so close to a uranium mine could be deadly.
The Indians are expendable, meaning that they can just use us as a guinea pig for any of the new regulations that they come out with.
I've said goodbye to Teddy and hook up now with local Navajo activist Anna Rondon. She's a petite woman with long black hair and piercing brown eyes. She takes me on a tour of Navajo country through rocky plateaus, sandy roads, and lush forests. As we drive, she tells me the land and her people have been exploited by the U.S. government's raging uranium fever.
The uranium companies that contracted with the government, they didn't care about Navajos. They're not from here. They're from the East Coast. They do their job and then they leave.
And they left behind a mess they didn't clean up. An 1872 law still on the books says mining corporations are not responsible for disposing dangerous mine waste, so hundreds of companies left abandoned, uncovered toxic mines to decay on the reservation. This still enrages Anna.
I'm sick of the federal government. They're not ever going to say that they're really accountable.
Anna tells me a third of the 180,000 Navajos who live on the reservation are sick, if not with cancer, with kidney disease, liver failure, diabetes, or asthma.
This is a hidden nuclear war that we're experiencing with all this contamination. And we're held hostage with no adequate health care.
Recently, the feds have devoted money for mine cleanup and water purification. But Navajos have seen little money for actual disease treatments. And so, Anna tells me, people just die.
They die a slow death. For the people that are born and raised on the land, and you tell them you're living in a contaminated area and you tell them to leave, they're not going to leave. That's like saying, go somewhere and die.
That's why the next family I meet hasn't left their homeland. It's also why they've lost so many loved ones. Anna and I stop in Blue Gap, Arizona, at the Tachi Blue Corn Senior Center. Here, I meet 71-year-old Helen Nez and her 74-year-old husband, Leonard. They walk toward me slowly. Their wrinkled faces look sad. They greet me with a handshake, and Helen begins their story. She speaks only in Navajo. They have lived in Blue Gap their whole lives, just a half mile from the Black Mesa uranium mine. They had 11 children. Six of them died from a disease called Navajo neuropathy, brought on by exposure to uranium. Helen lists the symptoms her first child, Dorenta, experienced. Her surviving daughter, Serafina, translates.
She never walked. She had unusual puffiness in her face, her cheeks.
Helen continues. She clutches her stomach and wrings her wrinkled hands as she lists the other children she's lost. Jerome, Claudia, Euphemia, Teresa, and Cedar.
He was walking, but later he became dependent on crutches, onto wheelchair, and then bedridden.
Helen says she feels guilty for exposing her children to uranium. She recalls washing her children's clothes in contaminated water and seeing her children watch plumes of dust from the mine shroud their home.
I do recall the blasting. I do recall the dust filling my dishes.
Leonard says he worked in the Black Mesa mine for 2 years, transporting equipment and hauling water. He says he never knew that uranium was dangerous.
I know I returned home to my family contaminated in the uranium dust. I know I brought it home to my children. There were times I brought home rocks that were uranium, and I would put it at my windowsill for my kids to see. Now, I think if I didn't expose my children to the uranium, I could have had a big family.
Even though the Black Mesa mine has been closed for decades, Serafina says her mother worries about her children and her grandchildren who are still alive.
In her thoughts, she wonders about the future of her family. Are there going to be continued ailments in the future generation of her children?
That's exactly what troubles 17-year-old Floyd Baldwin Jr. He's Serafina's son, Helen and Leonard's grandson.
All this could be in my veins right now. And you know, like, this could be hereditary stuff. So if I have children one day, they might have to go through this. And yeah, it bothers me a lot.
Floyd tells me he watched his uncle Cedar die when he was little and watched his youngest nephew die just 4 months ago. He's having a hard time coming to terms with why they died.
I've actually gone up to that mine just to see the place. I mean, the stuff's still exposed. You can see it on the rocks. It's dangerous stuff. I mean, uranium kills people in the masses. And it's just disgusting.
The Navajos I met with say the United States government has made a mess of their land and is doing little now to help. Congress did pass RECA, the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act, in 1990, and granted thousands of former Navajo miners upwards of $150,000. Still, thousands more RECA claims have been denied, and six spouses and children of miners aren't covered. Agencies like the Bureau of Indian Affairs, the Department of Justice, and the Department of Energy have provided sporadic aid to the Navajo Nation for three decades. But it wasn't until October 2007, during a congressional hearing, that policymakers realized how disorganized the effort to help the Navajos really is.
The national leaders realized that, that there is a problem, but nobody's taking responsibility.
This is Lily Lane. She's the spokeswoman for the Navajo EPA. I meet with her near her office in Window Rock, New Mexico. She says the U.S. and Navajo EPA are the only agencies that have consistently aided the Navajos since the 1980s. Field workers tested radon levels, treated groundwater, tore down and rebuilt a dozen contaminated homes, and began removing uranium-rich topsoil from the Northeast Church Rock mine near Teddy's house. Just last year, the EPA developed a five-year plan to continue water treatment, home rebuilding, and cleanup at more abandoned mines. Lily tells me it's still unclear how much money the EPA will be receiving.
I think we said $10 million. Of course, we've never seen that. We haven't seen anything like that.
Lily says it will take $500 million and 50 years to fix the problems. As I leave Lily, I realize that money needs to come fast and in bulk because the Navajos won't leave to get help.
Our blood and our bones are with the land, and that's where we belong.
As Anna says, to leave is to die. But as the Navajos I've met tell me, to stay is to die as well. Reporting for Pavement Pieces, I'm Liz Wagner.